they are going to sell this new effort against Iran in the context of all of the polls that indicate that people are presently fed up with Bush and fed up with what we've already done in Iraq. In that situation, in order to get the public ready for a new round of strikes against Iran, they have to do it in the context of a false flag incident. I'm absolutely convinced of this. Now, I understand that we're going to be going for another 5 minutes for the next computer before the next commercial break. So I'm going to go ahead and continue reading from what Timmerman had to say in October of 2002 for Reverend Moon's Insight on the News. Listen to this, folks, stuff, because the United States government now indicates that all of this stuff is completely false. We've all known it these last 4 or 5 years. Now the United States government has quietly admitted that Timmerman and these other people making the case for war with Iraq have all been proven to be frauds. Listen to this, folks. This is Timmerman from 5 years ago. Recent intelligence information. This is what Timmerman is saying 6 months before we attacked Iraq. Recent intelligence information revealing dramatic progress in Iraq's nuclear weapons program has given a new urgency to U.S. and British efforts to build international support for war with Iraq, according to Iraqi opposition leaders interviewed by Insight in London. The information from recent defectors and other sources working with the broad-based Iraqi National Congress. Remember those guys, Ahmad Chalabi and the Iraqi National Congress? This same Ahmad Chalabi, by the way, is thought to have a lot of links to the government of Tehran, but Timmerman doesn't get into that here. But this indicates that Baghdad has made a recent breakthrough, quote-unquote, in production of the fissile material needed to produce the bomb. It was buttressed on September the 24th. Again, keep in mind, folks, this is 2002 now. It was buttressed on September the 24th when the British government released a quote-unquote unprecedented white paper based in part on classified intelligence information on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction programs. As UN inspectors ultimately discovered after several years of investigations in Iraq, the lack of nuclear weapons materials was the only obstacle that blocked Iraq from joining the nuclear club before the Persian Gulf War in 1991. It remains so today. Kenneth R. Timmerman continues from October 2002. He says the warnings from the opposition Iraqi National Congress coincide with new assessments of Iraqi weapons programs from independent think tanks. Yeah, I'll bet they're independent, folks. Quote, if Iraq were to acquire material from another country, it is possible that it could assemble a nuclear weapon in months, unquote, the Carnegie Endowment in Washington concluded in a recent report. Former Clinton National Security official Gary Samore is more circumspect in a just-completed, quote, net assessment, unquote, of Iraq's weapons program for the International Institute for Strategic Affairs in London. While he agrees that Iraq rapidly could assemble a weapon with fissile material from abroad, he doubts Iraq can produce special nuclear material on its own, quote, that will take much longer, with a relatively higher risk of detection than for chemical or biological weapons production, he tells Insight magazine. But the think tanks also admit that they are just guessing. For the last 4 years, there have been no international weapons inspectors in Baghdad. The only hard information, Kenneth Timmerman says in October of 2002, the only hard information on Iraqi weapons programs has come from Iraqi defectors and from U.S. national technical means, including spy satellites and overflights of Iraq by combat air patrols. The U.S. intelligence community has all but admitted publicly that it has no human sources in Iraq. Quote, we know that Saddam Hussein pursued weapons of mass murder even when inspectors were in the country, President Bush reminded the U.N. on September the 12th, 2002. Are we to assume, said George Bush, that he stopped when they left? To credit this regime's good faith is to bet the lives of millions in the peace of the world in a reckless gamble. That's George Bush, and that's Ken Timmerman from October of 2002. What are these same culprits doing now? We'll be back.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. E. Michael Jones will be with us at 9 o'clock this morning. We will be discussing his new essay for Culture Wars from the June 2007 edition of that very fine magazine. Dr. E. Michael Jones' essay is entitled Too Many Yarmulkes, The Ethnic Double Standard at the Heart of the Abortion Debate. That is a dynamite article, folks. Whether you're interested in the abortion issue or not, what is in that essay gets to the bottom of the larger forces that are involved in the larger culture war in this country. Absolutely essential reading. Dr. Jones has agreed to come on for just an hour to chat about the essay, and I really appreciate his effort because he's in the process of getting ready tomorrow. To do some traveling. He's got a pretty extensive speaking schedule coming up, and he's really reshuffling his schedule in order to be with you and me for an hour this morning from 9 to 10 o'clock Central Time. Back then to this whole business of the Paris conference this past weekend of the so-called Iran Solidarity Movement. What was behind this conference? It's interesting to look at the Iran press service coverage of the conference and also to take a look at what Kenneth R. Timmerman, has said about that conference at Newsmax and what he has said about it for Iran press service. And again, when we look at the folks who this past weekend in Paris, France, were arguing for regime change in Iran, these individuals, these Iranian individuals, represent the full spectrum, apparently, as far as Iranian politics go. There were monarchists there, ex-monarchists, Marxists and ex-Marxists. There were folks who were involved in working with the Islamic theocrats to overthrow the Shah, who have since allegedly turned on the regime there. There was something for everyone there, apparently. And yet, when we look at those who were really promoting the conference, we need to go back to Kenneth R. Timmerman, don't we? A very good friend in the Iranian expatriate community, human rights community worldwide, called me this weekend and said, "Hey, Mark, what do you know about Kenneth R. Timmerman?" And I said, "Why do you ask?" And they said, "Well, he once commented for me about this Paris conference and about what I think about what's going on at that conference as it relates to regime change in Iran." And I said, "Kenneth R. Timmerman, that's Reverend Moon's Insight magazine. That's the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs. That's the Project for a New American Century. That's WorldNet Daily. All of the usual culprits." And when we understand what is happening with Kenneth R. Timmerman and his promotion of these activities, we go back once more to what we were looking at before the last couple of commercial breaks. And that's what he said in October of 2002 for Insight magazine in regard to Saddam Hussein. "According to Kenneth R. Timmerman, 6 months before we attacked Iraq, Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. His war machine is being built systematically to strike at the United States with new nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons designed to kill millions." That was the headline advertising Timmerman's analysis for Insight magazine at the time. And, of course, it promotes the standard Project for a New American Century Bush administration line on Saddam and why we needed to attack him and so forth. Absolutely obvious, folks, what's behind this. Kenneth R. Timmerman in 2002 then goes on to say that a former senior Iraqi intelligence officer tells Insight that information obtained by the Iraqi National Congress during the last few months indicates that, quote, "Iraq has made significant progress recently in uranium enrichment," unquote. That conclusion is based on Iraqi purchases of specialized magnets from Germany and aluminum tubes for enrichment centrifuges from South Africa, as well as firsthand reports from defectors and sources in place who have visited new clandestine nuclear and biological weapons production sites during the last 18 months. "Among these clandestine sites," Timmerman writes in 2002, "are several new uranium enrichment plants," the Iraqi National Congress says. Quote, "Iraq is no longer using large, easy-to-spot facilities, but small-scale production plants that fit in small areas," unquote, a senior INC official says. According to Insight sources, Iraqi engineers are miniaturizing the bomb design to make it fit onto a missile, using modeling software and fast new computers recently imported through Dubai, and actively enriching uranium using centrifuges and gaseous diffusion membranes. Quote, "Yes, there's a new urgency," unquote, says Ahmad Chalabi, a member of the six-man Iraqi National Congress Leadership Committee in London. Quote, "We see an acceleration of these programs that shows Saddam is hell-bent on acquiring fissile material, not just to build one bomb, but to have a stockpile of weapons," unquote, he tells Insight. Timmerman continues then in October 2002 by saying that the Iraqi regime is increasingly turning to South Africa to procure nuclear materials and forbidden equipment needed for its weapons programs, INC sources tell Insight. A top Iraqi intelligence official, Jadhim Jaburi, has been dispatched to the Iraqi embassy in Johannesburg to handle contacts with South African nuclear engineers. He is also in touch with Arms Corps, the State Armaments Directorate, also known as DENEL, which supplied Iraq with advanced 155-millimeter howitzers during the Iran-Iraq War. To grease the skids and arrange travel documents, Iraqi procurement agents operating in Amman, Jordan, go through the first secretary of the South African embassy, Shoman Duplessis. The willingness of the South African government to sell nuclear material and weapons to Iraq and their fear of getting caught could explain the virulent outburst by former South African President Nelson Mandela, who told Newsweek recently that the U.S., not Saddam Hussein, presents, quote, a threat to world peace, unquote. The credibility of the Iraqi National Congress information was given a new boost in a White House report issued to buttress the president's UN speech. The section on Iraqi weapons programs began by citing Adnan Saeed al-Hadiri, an Iraqi specialist who visited scores of clandestine weapons sites before defecting to the Iraqi National Congress in November of 2001. Al-Hadiri had become Iraq's top authority in specialized epoxies used to seal minute cracks in concrete structures and clean rooms to prevent leaks that could give away their location. His skills made him an essential partner of Iraq's special security organization, which used him to hide many production labs and storage facilities in private houses and other sites inside Iraq. Folks, this is what Kenneth R. Timmerman was telling the world on October the 15th, 2002, 6 months before the United States attacked Iraq. He did so for insight on the news, under the control of the Washington Times and the Reverend Seung Myung Moon of the Unification Church. This is what Timmerman was saying then, and the headline is, How Saddam Got Weapons of Mass Destruction. Saddam Hussein's war machine is being built systematically to strike at the U.S. with new nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons designed to kill millions. That's the Insight magazine cover story from October of 2002. Folks, this stuff is so wrong, it's embarrassing. This stuff is so obviously connected to intelligence agencies' agitprop operations that it's more than transparent. What Kenneth R. Timmerman was assigned to do in October of 2002. Why do we go back almost 5 years in history to refresh our memories on this? Because now Kenneth R. Timmerman has reappeared. He has reappeared to advocate preemptive war with Iran. He has reappeared to work with John Bolton to create the case for Iran. Iran being a threat to world peace in the same way that he claimed that Iraq represented the same threat 5 years ago. And to understand the forces behind Mr. Timmerman and his new enthusiasm for overthrowing the regime in Tehran, we go back to the usual connections, don't we? The Washington Times, Insight magazine, the Foundation for Democracy in Iran, which Mr. Timmerman co-founded with Peter Rodham of the Project for a New American Century. There are the fingerprints, folks, of the Israeli lobby, the Israeli intelligence community, and Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu. Is that an accident? And when we look a little further at Mr. Timmerman's background, once again, keep in mind the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs. It does not appear in any official biography of Kenneth R. Timmerman, but he's on the advisory board of JINSA. There we see Michael Ledeen of the American Enterprise Institute, Jack Kemp, John Bolton, Dick Cheney, Richard Pearl, Douglas Feith, all of the usual suspects connected to the Israeli lobby, the American armaments industry, and the oil conglomerates. Is that an accident? I don't think that it is. And when we look at this Paris conference that took place this weekend involving this so-called Iran solidarity movement, I am not saying that every person there representing Iranian expatriates, allegedly, has an official connection to Israeli intelligence, British intelligence, and or American intelligence, but I'm sure some of the key ones do. It would be interesting to know their identities and to know just how close those links go. Undoubtedly quite similar to Ahmad Chalabi, our old friend with the Iraqi National Congress. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. E. Michael Jones joins us at 9 o'clock this morning Central. Stay tuned.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking in the last hour or so, hour and a half almost, at this very interesting connection of American neocon Kenneth R. Timmerman to this conference of Iranians this past weekend held in Paris, France, known as the Iran Solidarity Conference, the Iran Solidarity Group Conference. What is this organization? I don't know how accurate it would be to describe it as an organization. You had a series of individuals and groups there representing the entire political spectrum as it relates to the Iranian world community, ranging from Marxists on the left to monarchists on the right, who all had their own reasons for wanting the present regime in Tehran out. But when we look at Kenneth R. Timmerman, American neocon par excellence, and the way in which he has been promoting, apparently, a closer look at this Paris conference of this last weekend, doing so for Newsmax, it becomes abundantly clear that something is happening. Kenneth R. Timmerman, keep in mind what we've already read this morning from Insight magazine from October the 15th, 2002, where the biggest pack of lies and nonsense that you can imagine related to all the things that we now know are totally false about Saddam Hussein's alleged weapons of mass destruction program were being distributed internationally by one Kenneth R. Timmerman, 6 months before the United States invaded Iraq. And again, think of Mr. Timmerman's connections, folks, in order for you to get the picture. If you've been listening to the show thus far, hopefully you're onto this, but I'll mention it again for those just joining us. Kenneth R. Timmerman is connected to Reverend Moon's Insight magazine. He is on the advisory board of the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, a close associate of Michael Ledeen of the American Enterprise Institute, Jack Kemp, John Bolton, American ambassador to the UN up until recently, Dick Cheney, Richard Perle, and Undersecretary of Defense Douglas Feith. That, I think, should tell you all that you need to know. Insight magazine, Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, and Timmerman is the head of something called the Foundation for Democracy in Iran. He founded that in conjunction with a guy by the name of Peter Rodham, who is one of the founders of the Project for a New American Century. There's the provable Israeli connection right there, folks. The Project for a New American Century. That means the Likud government in Israel, the Likud party in Israel. That means Benjamin Netanyahu. All of the usual suspects. They're all connected to one Kenneth R. Timmerman, who is doing the same thing now, apparently, that he was doing 6 months before we went to war with Iraq, providing the official cover for an impending American military action that I think is ill-advised, immoral, unconstitutional, counterproductive, and ultimately disastrous for the long-term interests of this country, as well as the long-term interests of the world. Who benefits? Who benefits by this action? I think we turn once again to the Israeli lobby and the government of Israel as the ultimate power behind the scene in regard for this push for war in the Middle East and the push for a much wider expansion of what the American military is presently doing in that part of the world. And folks, if it isn't working now, if it's not working militarily and if it's not working politically, if we are up to our eyeballs in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and if the Palestinian situation is worsening, why are we going to attack Iran, a nation three times the size of Iraq, both geographically as well as with population? Come on. I think you can see where all of this is headed. It's headed straight for the apocalypse. This is frightening. And when we consider Mr. Bush's recent executive orders, take a look at Presidential National Security Directive 35, in conjunction with Con Plan 8022. Not only is a war being planned for Iran, but the President of the United States and his planners are laying the groundwork for the utilization of tactical nuclear weapons in Iran. It's clear that that's what's going on. And Mr. Timmerman is among those who I think are fronting for these forces. Can you imagine what's going to happen if we hit Iran, these so-called nuclear sites, with tactical nuclear weapons? Not only will thousands upon thousands of innocent Iranian civilians be killed, but as LouRockwell.com has already chronicled for us as of a few days ago, you're going to see weaponized uranium and plutonium particles going into the air and going over a very wide area of the entire world if this happens. The people planning this thing are absolutely out of their minds, in my judgment, and have absolutely no moral compass whatsoever in regard to providing a constraint on their activities. And just as there was this false rationale, totally phony, fraudulent rationale being bandied before the American public before this terrible decision of March of 2003, now we see the same pattern repeating itself. Conferences with Israeli connections, fraudulent expatriates taking money to provide a false case for war, and the drumbeats of war being sounded by people like John Bolton and Kenneth R. Timmerman. You get the idea. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America on RBN. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars joins us at 9 a.m. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. The basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jog 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. By the way, I wanted to make a slight correction, and I think this is due to the complete lack of sleep that I've had this weekend, that I made this error. And it might be a minor error, but it basically needs to be corrected. AIPAC, of course, stands for the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. I've referred to it as the American-Israel Political Action Committee. I think the actual name of the acronym, or the draw out of the acronym, is American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. But, you know, when you think about it, of course, this whole business of the AIPAC spy scandal continues to be significant, doesn't it? Not only for what it reveals about the relationship between AIPAC and the government of Israel and those in the American intelligence community who are serving as moles for the Israeli intelligence boys, but it also says something about an American news media that has suddenly caused coverage of that spy trial to dwindle down to nothing. I haven't seen anything on this in recent days. If any of you have, feel free to send it to me. But this whole business of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee will not go away, will it? These guys are bad news. And when it comes to what they're doing to this country in conjunction with the Israeli government, it points out, doesn't it, the fact that there are invisible forces that are manipulating us and controlling our foreign and domestic policy in ways that go beyond the imagination. We have a caller, Steve in Tennessee. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, brother. How's your day?
Good. How are you doing, Steve?
A little sleepy. I'm doing a whole lot better than I deserve. I wanted to get back to this Saturday Evening Post, January 17th, 1959.
Sure.
The Superior General of the Society of Jesus in command of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta and the Scottish Rite Shriner Freemasonry. There's another subgroup. It's called the Arabic Noble of the Mystic Shrine. And one of your Masons is Benjamin Netanyahu. I don't know how that's perfectly pronounced, but he's a Mason. And if you look into this Arabic shrine, the Shriners, you have to be a 32nd degree Shriner for at least 6 months before you, a 32nd degree Mason before you can become a Shriner. And if you look up these heads of state in Iran, they're Shriners.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, that there's a lot of stuff out there, Steve, and I am not an expert in it, but there is a lot of stuff out there in regard to the influence, among other things, allegedly, of British Freemasonry in Iran historically. Again, I'm not an expert in this whole area. I'd like to delve into it a little bit more, but it's interesting that you bring up this connection today.
Well, see, the connection really goes back. I don't want to get too heavy into this, but we also have another Mason that's an interesting man. His name is Saddam Hussein. He was a Mason. Yasser Arafat, a Mason. Prince Philip, a Mason. You know, Stalin, Grand Orient Lodge. Trotsky, Grand Orient Lodge. Lenin, Grand Orient Lodge. And it goes on, you know. Gorbachev, you know, Kohl, Hemet Kohl, and Tony Blair, you know, and I can run on and on here, but we have to go back to the fact that the Jesuits are behind it, and what they do is they've got all these front organizations, and they go Rome, and they go, no, it's the Jews. No, it's Iran. If you look into the symbolism of the Roman Catholic Church and Iran, in the Muslim, they have the same all-seeing eye. They have the same eight-pointed star. They have the same prayer bead. And I can go on from there. And I think it would behoove us all to look into this one-world religion, one-world government. And Rome says it's them. And what I see when we start talking about the Jews, these guys aren't Jews. You know, they are Satanists. And the thing is that when you, in World War II, Hitler did the same thing, the Jew. Well, who burned? It was mom and pop Jew had a little store on the corner. It wasn't IG Farben. You know, they made the gas. Pope John Paul II worked with them. I mean, it's out there. It's all out there. And we need to take a close look at it because we're being taken down that same road.
Well, that presents all kinds of things, Steve, that we don't really have time to get into this morning that would make for an interesting future show in regard to the events of the late 18th century. And this whole business of who and what was behind the infiltration of the Freemasonic movement at that time, and the whole question of the Rothschild banking consortium. And
the Rothschilds are the ones who control Rome's bankers. They are Rome's bankers.
No question about it, but that begs the question as to who is influencing and infiltrating whom in regard to this whole relationship between world Zionism and the Vatican presently.
Okay, how about, have you read the Jesuit Oath?
No, I've not.
Okay, it would behoove you to do so.
Okay.
Because in there, they make one statement. I mean, they go through this, even to speak from the Protestant pulpit, and it says, to become so low as to become a Jew among the Jews. Rome hates the Jews. And they're pitting the so-called Jews, which are actually, you know, like you call them Zionists, that's masonry. And they're pitting them against the Arabs over there to bring this Third World War up. And it Rome's behind it, because you got to go to Scripture. And it's Daniel and Revelation, and it all points to the, you know, I have an American dictionary. When you look up Scarlet Woman, and it says the Roman Catholic Church. I've got a bike.
What it says is the City of Seven Hills, which is Rome.
Yes.
That might be a much wider entity than simply the Roman Catholic Church. It may include them ultimately at the end of history, but I think there may be a much wider political and economic and theological consortium involved in it than simply the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah, but you got to follow right through Daniel, and everything points to Rome, because it's, even though even the Wycliffe Bible Commentary out of Moody Institute says it's Rome. And they're going to, I mean, you can read it. You can still buy the book. Go into any, it's $40. Just go in and buy one. And it's, look up Revelation 17, 1 to 6. It's right in there. And, but the thing is that, you know, Revelation 17, 1 to 6, it says in verse 9, it says, here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads that thou sawest are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there's Rome. She's the only ecclesiastical entity that matches up with the 1260-day prophecy, 538 A.D., the Ostrogoths went down, three of the ten tribes that came up. Daniel says it'll root three tribes out, you know, and the Herulei, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths came down. Then the decree from Justinian went forth in 533 A.D., couldn't be accomplished until the last ones, the Ostrogoths, were taken out by Belisarius, his general. Rome got its ecclesiastical political control of the war, of the Christian and corrector of heretics. And then 1260 years later, 1798, the French Revolution came in, the grievous wound was inflicted, you know, Revelation 13. And then the
you're not equating that 3.5 year period of time to Antiochus Epiphanes the IV between say 168 and 165
yeah. No,
BC.
It's impossible, because see, this little horn of Daniel comes up amongst the ten tribes. You know, Epiphanes it's just some little podunk Greek way before Rome even came on the scene. And this
I don't know of any biblical scholar anywhere that agrees with your interpretation on that, Steve.
Well, I know, because they're Romans. Because, see, this comes from a Spanish Jesuit, the Alcazar. That's the preterist interpretation. Then you got the futurist comes from this other Spanish Jesuit. You know, this is to stop the Reformation. You know, our theologians today are nothing like they were back during the Reformation. These, you know, our theologians, they come out of the Jesuit school. What can you expect from them? They're all Jesuits trained. If they're not Jesuits themselves, they're Masons. I mean, of all people, no offense meant to you, brother, but you're a Lutheran. And you know that. I mean, I don't know if you personally know this, but Lutherans used to know it. And so did the Anabaptists knew this stuff. The Wesley knew this. Calvin knew this. Knox, Wycliffe, all these guys knew this. But the lid's been put back on the ephod. And the woman inside.
Are you saying that Luther and Wesley and Calvin agree with your interpretation of the book of Daniel in regard to the 1260 days?
Yeah, they did.
I'd like to see that.
Okay, well, you got the books. A Missouri Synod, right?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I've run across these Missouri Synod Lutherans, and they're straight Lutherans. You know, and I appreciate them because they know that the Antichrist is the Pope. They know this stuff, and they used to preach it. I haven't seen any, you know, in the last couple of years. But the thing is that Luther pointed, he says, if there is a hell, Rome is built over it. And John Wesley, you know, said, the man of sin, Rome. Calvin is very Antichrist. I mean, look these things up. You know,
well, see, I don't think, though, that interpretation excludes the Jewish angle, Steve. In other words, I think you're onto some good thoughts here, but I think what we've got here, and I know some Orthodox Catholics who would agree with this, is that in the present day period of time, to the extent that the whore of Babylon does sit in the city of seven hills, that I would suspect that indicates that the Roman Catholic Church again will be a part of a much larger conglomerate of economic and political and theological apostasy, which also includes a lot of very deluded Protestant evangelicals who are supporting those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan.
Yeah, well, see, the evangelical whole situation is Jesuit rule. You know, Rome calls them the daughters. I mean, Cardinal Ratzinger in 2000 says, Rome is not one of the daughters. We are the mother. She's the mother of harlots. And you go back, and Rome, the Roman pontiff, in their own writings, claims to be God. Okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, word for word, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. And they claim, I've got quote after quote after quote, and I've got picture after picture after picture of this stuff. And I forget what year, it was in 1980s, late 80s there. Here's all the ecclesiastical heads of state lined up with the Pope. You know, he's in white, they're in black. Black is submission, all of them. And it's from Jews and Mohammedans. It's snake charmers, Protestants, Dalai Lama. I mean, just everybody was standing there. And all the world wondered after the beast.
Yeah, and see, and I think with that interpretation goes, and again, I think of some Orthodox Roman Catholics that would agree with that, properly understood as being a part of a much larger consortium that will involve Jewish central banking, that will involve other world religions linking up with this Roman entity that Daniel and Revelation and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 seem to speak of. So I think that there's not necessarily a juxtaposition between much of what you have said here and the body of thought, which indicates that the Jewish banking community and the Israeli modern Zionist state of Israel are also tied up in this eschatologically.
Well, they are. It's all one religion because you go back into the symbology. See, when Babylon, you know, the Lord sure made a mess out of Satan's plan for 4,000 years, and all he had to do was confuse the tongues. So now they're gone to symbolism to let you know they can talk among themselves. Their hand signs. And their symbology. And when they all have the same all-seeing eye, the Jesuits have it, the Mormons have it, the Masons have it, the New Age movement has it, and that's just Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit. He's one of their most quoted men in the New Age movement.
Yeah, I have read some of his writings, not recently. That's very revealing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he claims that we can become God. That's the first recorded lie in history in Genesis 3. You know, and this is, they rally, this, see, this whole thing in the homosexuality, because they worship Baphomet. He's the androgenic God. And have you seen the picture of Baphomet, the goat god?
I'm not sure. I have to say that I have not. It's possible that I have and I've forgotten it.
Yeah. Well, it's a little hard to forget this little picture of this fellow. He's half woman, half man, half goat, and he uses the same three-fingered symbol that the popes use. I mean, this symbolism, you can read what's going on because that's how they communicate. And it is amazing. And besides, if you go to their writings, go into the Mason encyclopedia. Go to Morals and Dogma by Pike. You know, I've got this.
Which I've read, not real recently, but I've read Pike's book.
Yeah, isn't that, it's beyond belief. And the Quran is their Bible.
Well, where do you think all this is headed, Steve?
It's headed just like they said. You will not be able to buy or sell unless you come into the control of Rome. And the
I'm curious in terms of your interest in eschatology and the fact that you've read some of these things. Are you one who believes in a so-called pre-tribulational rapture, or do you believe that people will be Christian people will be present on the earth when these things really begin to unfold?
Well, if you go to chapter 16 of Revelation, we've got "Behold, I come quickly." That's one of the pre-trib things. That's after the sixth plague and before the seventh plague that the Lord has said that. There is no secret rapture. It's not secret. When the trump blows, you'll hear it. And we're leading up to it because if you know the steps, if you know Daniel and Revelation, then you can see step by step where we are in the time. We will not know the day and the hour, but we know
we'll be back.
Prophecy.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Yeah.
We're back. This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars will be with us at right around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, to discuss his new essay for that publication entitled Too Many Yarmulkes, The Ethnic Double Standard at the Heart of the Abortion Debate. That's E. Michael Jones at 9 a.m. to discuss that essay. And you can find Culture Wars at culturewars.com. And I would really urge you to get a print subscription to this very fine magazine. I've been a subscriber since, I think, last December when Dr. Jones was last on the show. I have not regretted that decision. As one who is not a Roman Catholic, but who follows the inside of the Culture Wars debate and who's behind what, this has proven to be invaluable reading, and I strongly urge you to listen to the interview at 9 a.m. and also to enjoy Culture Wars as yet another source of information that is not being spun by corporate media. Speaking of which, of course, I have a brief op-ed piece in the current American Free Press of June 11th and 18th in regard to the whole issue of Rudolph Giuliani, Ron Paul, and what happened in Iran in 1953. As it relates to the AFP's book on that subject entitled The CIA in Iran, the 1953 Coup, and the Origins of the U.S.-Iran Divide. To me, if you look at this whole question of what we did in Iran in 1953, you'll discover the much larger, longer version of my article, which was edited by AFP for space purposes, in the print edition, but you can find the more lengthy original at my blog at Al Bawaba, the Middle East Gateway in Amman, Jordan. That will be, I think, interesting reading for you. In evaluating 1953 vis-a-vis Kenneth R. Timmerman and other well-connected neoconservatives now who are urging this country to go to war with Iran. Christopher Petherick, the editor of the American Free Press, of course, has been in the forefront of getting the truth about 1953 out before the public. And as you look at this whole issue, it becomes abundantly clear that according to AFP's book on the subject, which of course reflects original intelligence documents generated by both the CIA and the British MI6 at the time, representatives of British intelligence met with Near East and Africa Division representatives in Washington during November and December of 1952 for the purpose of discussing joint war and to stay behind plans in Iran. In attendance for British intelligence were Mr. Christopher Montague Woodhouse, recently chief of station for British intelligence in Tehran, Mr. Samuel Fall of the British intelligence station in Tehran, and Mr. John Bruce Lockhart, SIS Washington representative. In attendance for NEA division were Mr. Kermit Roosevelt, Chief of Division, Mr. John H. Levitt, Chief of Iran Branch, Mr. John W. Pendleton, Deputy Chief of Division, and Mr. James A. Darling, Chief of NEA Military Staff, who were in turn working for John Foster Dulles and Dwight Eisenhower, General Bedell Smith. 1953, is presently doing in Iran, people like Kenneth R. Timmerman. We'll keep an eye on it. This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars to discuss his essay, The Ethnic Double Standard, at the Heart of the Abortion Debate. Stay tuned.
A message for